Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
And it's time once again to say hello to Gloria Banish. Hello, Gloria.
Hi.
It's great to talk with you again. Gloria is the founder and owner and team leader at GJB Health Services, a practice located in Appleton, Wisconsin. And Gloria, if you would please remind our listeners of where they could find you on the web with your web address, social media, your phone, your email, any way you'd like to have folks get in touch with you.
Okay, the phone is 920-560-4525. And we're located in Appleton, Wisconsin, 711 North Lindale Drive, Suite 1A. And our website is https://gjbhealthservices.com. And the same little lead in there, https://couplesworkshopswi.com.
And she's the only certified Gottman couples therapist in Wisconsin. So if you would, Gloria, describe what that means and what it is that you folks do at GJB Health Services.
Okay, so certified Gottman therapist means that I have had all three levels of training plus done the certification track training with the Gottman Institute. The Gottman Institute is located in Seattle, and all the work that we do is based on the hardcore research of John Gottman and his partner Robert Levinson, with a whole bunch of other assists, and also Julie Gottman has done some research as well. At GJB, I work mostly with couples, but I also work with recovering alcoholics and addicts, and oftentimes that is a complicating factor in working with couples as well. At GJB Health Services, we're a one-stop shop. We have couples therapy. My husband works with me, and he is board certified in psychiatry, neurology, neuropsychiatry, neurophysiology, and vascular neurology. And we also have a certified sex therapist, quite a few different trauma therapists that work with us, and we can treat just about anybody. We also have some licensed professional counselors in training, and they are able to work on a sliding fee basis for clients who don't have insurance or who can't quite afford the private pay rate.
So it sounds like it's a very wide-ranging, far-reaching practice that you have there in Wisconsin. And today, I know you mentioned some of the things that you do, but I understand you have some material prepared for us about alcoholism and recovery from that and intervention. So why don't you start explaining some of the points you want to make about alcohol?
Okay, so I will share with the audience. Today is a very special day for me. I have had today 35 years of continuous sobriety from alcohol and pot and other recreational type drugs. And I was put into treatment 35 years ago with an intervention by my coworkers.
And tell us about the intervention. How did that take place, and what was your original reaction to it?
Well, my coworkers at the time, I was working in a private psychiatric hospital in Florida, so my coworkers were other therapists. And evidently, they had been following me around for months because they had all kinds of data that they had collected. And they were saying, okay, on this date, you came in late to work, and you were very irritable and seemed out of it. And on this date, you said you were going to have two drinks, and you had six. We counted, and on it went. So they had a lot of different material. the minute I walked in and saw them all gathered there, I believe there were five of them, and only one of them was a recovering alcoholic and addict, and she was the art therapist at the hospital. And I knew that she was in recovery, and I really, really liked her and enjoyed her company, but obviously we never hung out because she didn't drink and she didn't drug. And for me at that time, the only good time was to be had with drinking and drugging.
Did you feel, when they were doing this, any kind of resentment? Like, hey, what are you looking at me so closely for? Leave me alone.
Well, I was really sick and depleted at that point. I had lost a bunch of weight. I was extremely depressed. And I really didn't want to go to treatment. I mean, I told them, I think I can do this by myself. And the recovering person, Pia, said, you know, maybe you can do it by yourself, but you don't have to do it by yourself. She said, if your car were to break down out in the middle of the road, maybe you could push it by yourself, too. But why on earth would you want to if you had a whole bunch of people going, we'll help you push? And then they made me the final offer that I really couldn't refuse. They said, if you don't go to treatment, you're fired.
Well, now we're talking.
Yes. And that super got my attention because I knew that if I got fired, I was in no shape to find another job.
Right.
And that would have meant I would have had to gone home and live with my mother. And at that point, my mother and I were so not getting along, primarily because of my drinking and drugging. So I was willing to go to any length to not have to go home and live with my mother. So I'm like, treatment, what a good idea.
Okay, so let me ask you, as part of this intervention, did your family, your mother, and other family members, did they get involved with this intervention? Because it seems like you didn't have a lot of resentment with the coworkers. You kind of had gratitude, and they did give you a very good reason, your continuing employment. But how did your family fit into this?
Well, they didn't tell any of my family, and my uncle was the administrator of the psych hospital that I was working in. They didn't tell him. They didn't tell the man that I was dating, who's now my husband. They didn't tell him about it. They didn't tell my mother. They didn't tell anybody. They let me call my boyfriend right before I went to treatment and say, I'm an alcoholic and an addict, and I'm going to treatment, and I will see you later. Goodbye. That's all they let me say to him.
Wow. Was the recovery effort, I mean, because people hear about, you know, was this like a Betty Ford Clinic type setup that you went to? I mean, that's one that just comes to mind because a lot of famous people have been treated there.
Exactly. It was very similar to the program that they have at Hazelden and Betty Ford. It was Charter Glades Hospital, and they're not even open anymore. I think they went out of business or were bought out. But I had to stay there for 6 weeks because I was detoxing from pain pills and tranquilizers as well as alcohol.
I see. So then can you give us an idea of once you made the commitment to go into recovery, what you had to do? You know, did you have to go to a specific place? How long did it last? That sort of thing. Just walk us through it.
Well, you know, we say that the only thing you have to change is everything. And so I had to learn how to live clean and sober because I had started drinking when I was 14 and I started smoking pot when I got to college. And I did both pretty much every single day. And so it had been a long time since I had, you know, dealt with anger, dealt with fear, dealt with resentment, dealt with celebration and joy without alcohol or pot. And I really didn't know how to do it. And so I had to really stick closely with other people in the recovering community who, gave me some remedial lessons about how to live. They gave me...
The alcohol and drugs then were kind of like a suit of armor for you that shielded you from these things?
Absolutely, absolutely. When I first got sober, as for most people, it kind of feels like your nerve endings are on the outside of your body, and everything seems like a really, really, really big deal. There's no such thing as crisis versus a small inconvenience. Everything is enormous.
Wow. I have to ask you, as you went through this this treatment and the recovery plan, did they ever get into the reasons why you got so heavily into it in the first place?
Sure. And, you know, first of all, this is a hereditary disease. And I really didn't know that anyone else in my family had it. I learned from other family members after I got sober that my great-grandfather had been an alcoholic, and my great-grandmother, Ma Day was her name. We called her Ma. And she cured him because, well, she told him very nicely once, don't ever have a drink and come home again. And he did it a second time, and he turned his back on her, and she knocked him over the head with a cast-iron skillet. And when he came to, she was sitting there very calmly, and she said, you ever touch another drop again, and you will never see me or any of the children again. It will not do you any good to look for us. Do you understand what I'm telling you? And Pa was like,
nothing like a cast iron skillet to get your attention.
Right. Yeah, that was some one trial learning there. So evidently he never drank again, and neither did any of the children. Because they were like, oh my, she just had to bottle it.
Yeah, she was serious.
Let's steer clear.
Yeah, she was serious about it.
She was very serious.
And he was just able to do it on his own, just kind of like cold turkey? He didn't get any special treatment, did he?
No. Well, back then there was no special treatment. Right. Really, there was no treatment until AA started, really, the first treatment centers. But up until then, I mean, they just locked people up in psych hospitals and, you know, or put them in jail, and nothing much seemed to much help.
What about AA? You know, you brought it up. So many people have used it. Tell us about that and its effectiveness.
Well, AA is a wonderful program. And all of the other 12-step groups, Narcotics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Al-Anon, Adult Children of Alcoholics, all of these are based on the 12 steps of the AA program. The only thing that ever changes is the first step. And in AA, they say we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. And Overeaters Anonymous says we're powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Debtors Anonymous say we're vague about money, our life has become unmanageable.
So in other words, it's the main stressor that gets the first position, and then everything else, the other 11 points follow from there?
Exactly.
So now,
exactly.
Gloria, what I'd like to do is just hold that point, and if you can briefly, because I know you have a lot to talk about those 12 steps very briefly for folks who are not familiar with it, and we'll do that right after this break, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, and we'll have more after this.
Are you in need of a lifestyle change? Body Bliss by Jess can help. Jess is a certified holistic health coach with a simple, undiet approach that focuses on delicious foods, daily movement, hormone balance, and self-care. Her mission is to help you find a lifestyle where you can still enjoy the foods you love, fall in love with new ones, and never feel restricted again. For more info, check her out online, www.bodyblissbyjess.com. Give her a call at 503-351-9751 or email her, Jess@bodyblissbyjess.com. And don't forget to check out her Instagram at bodyblissbyjess. Body Bliss by Jess. Real life, real results.
Many of us want to find a way to help others, a way to give a little back out of the much that we've been blessed with. St. Joseph Catholic Church sends many needy students home for the weekend with food that they might not have been able to eat without the church's help. Their Backpack Buddies program feeds these children at a cost of about $1,000 every week. Give these children something on their plates and give their parents the peace of mind of not having to worry about their children going hungry. Go to stjosephjasper.com or visit their Facebook and Twitter at St. Joe Jasper. Contact Mike directly at mike@stjosephjasper.com or call 812-482-1805. St. Joseph Catholic Church, food for every child.
Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
We are back with Gloria Banish, the founder, owner, and team leader of GJB Health Services in Appleton, Wisconsin. Gloria is the only certified Gottman couples therapist operating in Wisconsin now. And today she's talking about alcoholism and intervention and recovery from it. And she's telling her story. And it's a very interesting story. And Gloria, before the break, we were talking about the 12-step program that AA provides. And you were saying that all of the 12-step programs start with the main stressor, be it food, be it alcohol, be it gambling, whatever. What are the other steps that they all seem to follow in order?
Well, basically, I mean, they can be grouped into trust God or your higher power, whatever that is. It can be the group. Clean house, so own what belongs to you. Become well acquainted with your character defects so that you are able to recognize them when they appear in your interactions with other people. Clear up the wreckage of the past. Try to make amends to anyone that you've harmed. And then continue to self-reflect and try to help other people.
And how did your program, did it integrate those concepts as you did your recovery, or was it different?
The treatment program that I went to was very closely allied with the recovering community. Not all treatment centers are, but the one I went to was. And, you know, AA and NA are what work best for most people, but people do stay sober other ways. A lot of people do a program called Rational Recovery, and some people go to church, and some people just stop cold turkey. I guess, you know, what you want, though, is to be happy, joyous, and free. And if you just put the plug in the jug, as we say, if you just stop drinking or stop drugging. We say if you take the alcohol or the drug out of an alcoholic or addict, you have an ick. So we still have all of the reasons that we needed to use whatever the drug of our choice was. It's just that we no longer use the drug of our choice. And so often they're not very nice people. And they're not very happy people. So, you know, it's about learning how to live life on life's terms. And so you need some way to learn how to do that. And you need support. You need to be able to surround yourself with a community of some sort. Because it can be very lonely out there, particularly for younger people coming into the program. When I first came in, I was 27, and I was one of the youngest. And, you know, but people do come in when they're 15, 16, 17, 18, and many people do recover.
I understand. And could you just briefly describe, you said some people go cold turkey. How can you characterize what the treatment program was for you, what you went through, how long it took until you got yourself better?
Well, with detox from alcohol, you're typically looking at 5 to 7 days to get yourself past the danger period where people could potentially have a seizure or go into delirium tremors and start hallucinating and believing things are crawling on them. When you are detoxing from tranquilizers or pain pills, that danger period is much longer. It can be anywhere from 15 to 22 days. And that is the reason that they want to keep you in treatment for a longer period of time. And while you're in treatment, you usually learn relaxation techniques. You have assertiveness training. You have time of reflection to look at what's happened to you up until now and to kind of come to grips with the person that you are and the person that you want to be.
How much temptation after you go through this entire process is there? If you're in an environment, let's say it's a wedding, and people are drinking, and you don't want to drink, how difficult is it to just say, no, not for me, I've learned my lesson, I mean, because I have no idea?
It varies for everyone. I mean, typically I advise clients, if they're new in recovery, to not go into a situation where you might want to drink unless you have a really good reason to be there, and then make sure you're kind of in the best fit spiritual condition that you can be in. And by spiritual, I don't mean religious. By spiritual, I mean at peace, on good terms with the people that you're there with, feeling good about the reason that you're there for, being honest about the reasons that you're there, and of course having a way to escape if you need to. So, you know, take your own vehicle. It's a good idea if you can take someone with you that has more time than you do in recovery, and make sure that you're not hungry.
Gloria, we have a couple of minutes left here, so what I'd like for you to do at this point is I want to just give you the floor and some key takeaways that you tell people, both from your own experience and the advice you give to people that you treat that have been struggling with alcohol.
Well, I would say no one can decide if you're an alcoholic but you. But there are three questions that I typically ask people. Can you predict with any degree of accuracy when you're going to use and when you're not? And changing your mind doesn't count. Can you predict with any degree of accuracy once you pick up your drug of choice how much of it you're going to use? And can you predict with any degree of accuracy what's going to happen to you once you start using? And if your answer to any of those questions is not always, then probably there's a problem. And by definition, if you're trying to control your drinking, it's already out of control, because people don't typically come into my office and say, you know, I think I'm eating too many green beans. I ate them twice last week, and I may eat them twice this week. Do you think that's too many green beans to eat? I mean, typically not an issue. And if people are worried about loved ones, investigate intervention. Make sure that you get someone that's a trained interventionist. I'm a trained interventionist, to help you and your loved ones to intervene. And they say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. That's true, but you can take him to the creek and tie him up until he gets thirsty. And you can raise the bottom. You don't have to wait for people to hit bottom. And that's what happened to me. I mean, left to my own devices, I certainly would not have gotten clean and sober when I did. But if we can get people into a good treatment program, oftentimes people will take advantage of the program and latch on to it, because most alcoholics and addicts are pretty miserable by the time people start realizing there's a problem. And we may not want to quit drinking and drugging, but most of us are pretty tired of being sick and tired. And so if you can come together in a loving way, and I never was angry at the people that intervened to put me into treatment. They saved my life. And I knew that. And they were very kind and very loving. And intervention can feel like a warm hug. And, you know, if especially if you've got someone leading the intervention that has gone through an intervention themselves, usually, you know, I can really calm people down and go, I know how you feel. I've been where you're sitting. Will you just agree to listen?
Gloria, you said it was an anniversary. How long now?
35 years today.
Okay. Gloria Jean Banish is the founder, owner, team leader at GJB Health Services in Appleton, Wisconsin. And Gloria, just one final question really quickly. Do you have resources on the website that people can look up to find out more about this? If you could just give us that web address, please.
It's GJBHealthServices.com. And I have a document on intervention. I'm not sure if it's on the website now, but if people would like it, they can contact us through the website or through our email at gjbhealthservices@gmail.com. And we can, you know, plan an intervention. Generally, it takes about 10 hours of preparation before the main event, give or take a bit. And I'm willing to travel, and most of the prep can be done via email these days.
Gloria Banish, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your story with us. And I wish you the best until we get a chance to talk again, okay?
Thank you very much. You have a great day.
Yes, you do too. And we'll have more coming up.
Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.